Hi, if you are a professional or someone who is seeking to know more about post-traumatic stress disorder, this podcast is just for you. Maria was only 15 when she was attacked. For months after this horrifying event, Maria was not herself. She was unable to keep the memories of the attack out of her mind. At night, she would have terrible dreams and would wake up screaming. She had difficulty walking back from school because the route took her past the site of the attack, so she would have to go the long way home. She felt as though her emotions were numbed and as though she had no real future. At home, she was anxious, tense, and easily startled. She felt somehow shamed by the event, and she resolved not to tell close friends about the event in case they rejected her. This story describes a typical case of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. PTSD is classified under anxiety disorders in the Diagnostic Statistic Manual, 4th edition, otherwise known as the DSM-4. The thing that sets PTSD apart from other anxiety disorders is that it requires a precipitating event. This means that a specific stimulus has triggered the onset of subsequent symptoms. PTSD is defined by exposure to a traumatic event. The person experienced, witnessed, or faced an event or events that involved actual or threatened death or serious physical injury to self or others. The threat to self or others must have resulted in feelings of intense fear, helplessness, or horror. Not only that, symptoms must cause significant clinical distress in social, occupational, or other areas of functioning. There are certain criteria to consider, each with a list of symptoms that qualify a diagnosis of PTSD. There are three categories in which a number of symptoms within each category must be present. The first is re-experiencing the event. At least one of the following criteria must be met: recurrent or intrusive recollection, recurrent and distressing dreams, reliving the event, psychological distress, and/or reactivity to cues related to event. The second category is avoidance and numbing. At least three of the following must be present to meet criteria: avoidance of thoughts, feelings, or conversation of the event, avoidance of reminders or cues related to event, mental or emotional amnesia, apparent decrease in pleasurable activities, detachment feelings, limited affect, and inability to perceive a future. The third category is increased arousal. At least two of the following criteria must be present: difficulty sleeping, irritability, and outbursts of anger, difficulty concentrating, hypervigilance, and exaggerated startled response. Examples of a traumatic event leading to the onset of PTSD is war, like the Vietnam War, or the war going on today in the Middle East, or the attacks on the World Trade Centers in New York City on September 11th. Those are more worldwide events that led many to develop symptoms of PTSD. But examples of other personal events that could lead to the onset of PTSD include rape, witnessing a death, or car accidents. It is important to note that PTSD differs from acute stress disorder in that PTSD requires symptoms that are more persistent over a long period of time. Symptoms have to be present for more than a month for PTSD, whereas symptoms are only present within the first 4 weeks of traumatic event for acute stress disorder. If symptoms are present for more than 3 months, it then becomes acute PTSD, and after 6 months, it is known as chronic PTSD. The longer PTSD goes untreated, the harder it may be to help the individual recover from the trauma. There are comorbid disorders associated with post-traumatic stress disorder. The United States National Comorbidity Survey showed that over 80% of individuals with long-term PTSD had at least one psychiatric diagnosis. Some common comorbid disorders include major depressive disorder, panic disorder, anxiety disorder, and substance abuse. The individual is at greater risk for developing PTSD if he or she has a mental health disorder prior to the exposure of a traumatic event. When deciding on the right forms of treatment for an individual with PTSD, It is important to consider the following: safety of the individual, identification of life stressors and feelings, and social supports available to the individual. A person is at greater risk for developing PTSD or symptoms of PTSD if there is a lack of social support following the traumatic event. The goals for treatment are to get the individual to open up, explore his or her feelings about the traumatic events, and find ways to incorporate the event into his or her life in a healthy, meaningful way. Cognitive behavior therapy, otherwise known as CBT, seems to be an effective form of treatment for individuals who have experienced trauma. CBT helps to make the connection between thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. CBT works on cognitive restructuring, in which the individual learns that thoughts and feelings affect behaviors, and behaviors affect thoughts and feelings. Psychoeducation is very important in CBT to give the individual an understanding of symptoms associated with the disorder. Behavior strategies for CBT might include imagery, exposure therapy, and relaxation techniques. Medication may be an option in some extreme cases for specific symptoms such as depression or anxiety. Medication should be used in extreme cases and in combination with psychotherapy. This podcast uses the following reference: Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, out of Occupational Medicine, Journal Number 57, page 399 to 403. Author, Bison J., 2007. For more about this and other behavioral, health, and safety issues for children, go to www.sbbh.pitt.edu. This podcast was prepared especially for you by Natasha Williams and Joe Lee.